Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. Love our campus pastors here in Myrie. Such a privilege to have Pastor Shannon and Tamara Hopper in the room. Can we honor them a little better than that? I love you guys. Eternity records what you've sown into your nation. Hey, love you guys to bits. Welcome everyone in the room. Also welcome you if you're joining us online today. So great to have you with us. Who is ready for the Word of God? We had a great time in the 9 a.m. service. I know we're going to have a great time here together today. I want to preach to you a message called The Andrew Factor. Say with me, the Andrew Factor. Who even is Andrew? Like, what even is this? What's going on? Hopefully that's going to become clear to you today as we gather around the Word. But Andrew, for your information, was one of the 12 disciples. We don't know that much about Andrew. In fact, he's only mentioned 12 times in the whole of the New Testament. 12 times. Four of those 12 times was just in a list of disciples. That was his big moments. As far as disciples go, Andrew's not really that prominent, yeah? So we know other disciples, James and John. We know them. We know sons of Zebedee. We know them. We know Judas. We know him for all the wrong reasons, all right? Don't be a Judas. But Andrew is probably most famous for being Simon Peter's brother. That's what he's known for. Have you ever been known in your life primarily based on your relationship to someone else? Does that ever happen to you? It's like, oh, Chrissy, Pastor Ken's wife. Like, yes, I am. And I'm proud. Oh, Chrissy, Jensen's mom. Yes, I'm Jensen's mom. I love him. But, you know, that was kind of, I adore him. I'm proud to, why'd you laugh? I don't understand. It's a bit like that for Andrew in the scriptures. It's like, oh, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now we know who you are, who the heck you are. I mean, Peter, he was prominent, yeah? Everyone been hanging around church anytime at all, you know Peter. Peter is peppered throughout the Gospels. He is there. We know all about his early formation as a disciple. We know from the book of Acts how critically important he was in the formation of the early church and the spreading of the Gospels. Then his own epistles made it in, you know, the book of 1 and 2 Peter, etc., etc. You take Peter out of the New Testament and it's a very different book, yeah? Not so much Andrew. Take him out. Who's going to miss him? No, sorry, Andrew. Sorry. The crowd of witnesses. Yeah. But despite Andrew's lack of prominence, it was actually Andrew that stood out to me recently. As I was reading the book of John in chapter 1, and we're going to jump into a passage of scripture together today. We're going to start reading from verse 35 in John chapter 1. It says, the next day, John was there. This John is John the Baptist. John was there. And John was there with two of his disciples. Now, these two disciples, we know for sure that one of them was Andrew. The other one, we think it's John the disciple. We think it's John that actually wrote this gospel. That's who we think, but we're not sure. Anyhow, when John the Baptist saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, behold, it's Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist testified. Now, when these two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him, and he asked, what do you guys want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said, come, you will see. So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him. Imagine that, just spending the day with Jesus. How great would that be? It was about 4 in the afternoon. Thanks for that. And now Andrew, Simon's brother, he was one of the two that had heard John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing, turn to your neighbor and say, first thing. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. We've found the Christ. And Simon brought him, sorry, and he, Andrew, brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, Simon, and said, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Epic moment in biblical history when these guys meet Jesus for the very first time, and Jesus prophesies over Simon. He goes, you are Simon, but you will be Peter. You're going to be a rock. It was a prophetic declaration. You're not called to be a flaky fisherman. You're called to be a rock, a pillar, an apostle in my early church. Such an epic moment. And yet, like I said, it was Andrew that actually captured my attention in this passage of scripture, because have you ever considered that maybe Simon Peter would never have even met Jesus if it wasn't for the Andrew factor? Maybe he would never have even met Jesus. See, the text records that Andrew was the first one to follow. Andrew was the first one to believe. Andrew was the first one to have a revelation that Jesus was actually the Messiah. But the thing about Andrew, he didn't keep it to himself. He didn't keep it as a personal experience. The Bible records that the first thing Andrew did was go and find his brother and tell him, we've found Jesus. We've found the one we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. And he, Andrew, brought Simon to Jesus. How powerful is that? Andrew was this critical component between Simon and Jesus, between Simon and his future. Andrew was the link. Andrew was the bridge. Who knows whether Simon would have ever encountered Jesus if it wasn't for the Andrew factor. The Andrew factor. In some ways, we who are saved in this place and saved online, we are all like Andrews. We're all like Andrews in as much as we have encountered Jesus, in as much as we've had a revelation, we've followed him, we've believed in him, we believe that he is who he says he is. And every single one of us in this room, you know Simons. You know people in your world. I know people in my world who are yet to encounter Jesus. But the thing about Simon, he wasn't really Simon at all. Simon was just an undiscovered Peter. Simon the fisherman was just an undiscovered Peter the apostle. That's who he was. Simon's destiny, his God-created shape, his God-created design was not the boat and the nets and the fishing and the sleeping fishing town called Bethsaida. That was not Simon's destiny. Simon's destiny was to know and serve and preach and proclaim Jesus Christ. That's where he was created by God to be. But who knows if he would ever have walked in that destiny if it wasn't for the Andrew factor. The Andrew factor. Just that one person, a brother, a sister, metaphorical or literal, does not matter, that's prepared to go and tell and bring. Go and tell and bring. I want to ask you, how many Simons are there in our world just waiting on an Andrew factor? How many people do you know? Simons do you know? Do I know? And they're not really Simons at all. They're actually undiscovered Peters. There's a God shape about them. All humanity is made in his likeness and image, gifted, purpose, designed to be in relationship with God. But so many, they don't know it yet. They're not walking in it yet. They don't operate in it yet. Maybe, just maybe, they're missing the Andrew factor. They're missing just that one that would go, tell, and bring. I think of Jardina Johnson. Give me a wave if you know Jardina Johnson. Some of you online might know Jardina Johnson because she features heavily on Nation's Kids online. If you don't know her, she's our Jump Kids pastor here at the Myoree location. Oh, Jazz, you're here. Stand up, Jazz. Stand up. We don't need her photo when we've got her in the flesh. How about that? I have Jardina's permission to be talking about her. She knows about this. But 3.5 years ago, Jardina was a Simon. She was a Simon. She had not encountered Jesus. She did not know him. She was studying nursing. She was working in her seventh year straight in retail. Doesn't look possible because you only look 20. But she was wondering, like, what the point of her life was. She was wondering, she was grappling with thoughts of identity and thoughts of purpose, and then she met Jesus. And purpose unlocked in Jardina's life. She actually discovered the reason why she was created. And her testimony these days is that she knows why she's here on the planet. It's a treat to have her in service, because usually she's not. Usually she's out there ministering to your children. She's had this passion unlocked in her by Jesus to instill life, hope, and purpose into a new generation. She went, when she found Jesus, she went from like a Simon type existence to a Peter type existence. And in Jardina's life, like the link, the bridge, it was the Ricardo factor. Some of you giggling because you know her boyfriend's name, AJ Ricardo. AJ Ricardo. But it was his family. It was the Ricardo family. It was this Christian family. They were the ones that brought Jardina to Jesus. They weren't afraid to share with her. They weren't afraid to just live their lives as lovers of Jesus. They talked about him. They lived him. One day, Charlie Ricardo, AJ's dad, sat her down and shared the straight gospel with her. It was like the Charlie factor. And I want you to think about where Jardina might be today if it wasn't for the Ricardo factor. Just think about where she might be today if it wasn't for this family that were prepared to bring her to Jesus. Maybe she'd be nursing. Maybe she'd be working retail. Maybe she'd be in one of these places. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you're called to. Nothing wrong at all. But for Gina, Jardina, change your name, Simon Peter, Jardina Junior. For Jardina, she wasn't called to be a retail worker. She was an undercover children's minister. She is an uncovered children's minister. The Ricardo factor made such a difference in her life as they brought her to Jesus. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we're going to read it. It says, when he being Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. The Bible likens people who are yet to meet Jesus to like being sheep without a shepherd. When I think of sheep without a shepherd, I think of people who are directionless. I actually think of people who are vulnerable. When we think sheep without a shepherd, I think of people that don't know where they're going in life, or even if they think they know where they're going, they haven't really discovered the fullness of their purpose. And I think that that is a picture of every single one of us before we meet Jesus. Although it was certainly my life before I connected with Jesus. And for every one Jardina story that we celebrate and our story that we celebrate, we got to acknowledge that there's thousands, tens of thousands. They're still living as Simons, but they're called to be Peters. They're loved by God. They're known by God. They're fashioned by Him. They're known by Him. Maybe, just maybe, they're waiting on the Andrew factor. The Andrew factor. And I know that the Holy Spirit can reach a person's life however He wants to, but we must not dismiss that He chooses to involve us. He chooses to involve us. He's given us, according to Scripture, the ministry of reconciliation. And there is a part for us to play. There's a recent study by McCrindle Research. Hello, Grant Dusting. McCrindle Research. It looked into the future of a church in Australia. And it sought to understand the soul of Australia, particularly with regards to spirituality. And one of the main findings of this study, great study, should check it out if you're interested. It found that whilst Australians might be somewhat disillusioned with the church, they are still spiritually hungry. Australians are still spiritually hungry. I know there's people watching online from different nations, but I believe that that's probably a statement that is true of all humanity, regardless of nationality. They are spiritually hungry people. And the study showed that during this pandemic year, 2020, this unprecedented year, that 47% of people have thought more than ever before about their own mortality and the big questions of life, like what is the meaning of life? Like, that's over half of our population, nearly half of our population, thinking about these things. In April of this year, we saw there was a huge spike in the number of Australians actually Googling the topic of prayer, Googling it, like in the quietness of their own homes and their own spaces. Don't buy into the lie that people aren't interested. Don't believe the fact that people have bypassed the need for faith and life and a relationship with God. There are so many people out there hungry for truth. And Jesus said of himself, he said, I am the way, I am the truth. That's who he is. What's missing is this Andrew factor, ones that are prepared to just go and tell and bring people to Jesus. And we need to be aware in this place, if we've found Jesus, that in the lives of spiritually hungry Australians or any other type, nationality of person, we are called to be the Andrew factor. We are called to be it. Jesus, he summarizes this whole situation like this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. He says, the harvest is indeed plentiful. We've heard it before. We've read it before. But the laborers are few. That's what Jesus said. Yeah. If you want to put it another way, there's plenty of spiritually hungry people. There's not many Andrews. Not many Andrews. And this is actually a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Really interesting. I sat down to start writing this message on Monday, just this last week, and I was in a cafe and I was procrastinating. Let's be honest. I got distracted. I stumbled across an article in my news feed, and it blew me away. It's from the Australian newspaper. Let's put that headline up on the screen just there. It says, farmers are desperate for hands to pick bumper crops. I kid you not, this article is about the exact dilemma Jesus was speaking about in Scripture, that there's a plentiful harvest but no laborers. And I'm going to quote to you from the article. As the author writes about this situation, like it's an absolute tragedy, he says, the harvest is the harvest. Nature has its own time-worn agenda, but courtesy of the global pandemic, harvest pickers have all but evaporated. The fruit is ripening as it's done in these fields for decades, but there are few hands to take it off the tree. Thus, the game of chess that farmers like Leo never thought they'd have to play. Do you choose some parts of your annual crop over others? Do you take a punt on the raspberries in preference to the blueberries? It's one thing to lose a crop to a bad season or a weather event. It's quite another to let perfectly good fruit rot on the trees for a lack of workers. For a lack of workers. This is the exact analogy Jesus was pointing to get our attention. There's a plentiful harvest, but we're missing workers. We need workers. And if this is a tragedy in agriculture, how much more of a tragedy in matters of eternity, in the matter of an eternal soul? Could this be a prophetic wake up to the church? Could this be a wake-up call from Jesus? We are called to be the Andrew factor in the lives of other people. We are called to be laborers in his harvest field. Will we go to the Simons we know? Will we go there? Will we go to our brothers and sisters and actually not stay silent anymore? Is there someone prepared to testify? Is there someone prepared to speak? Did Jesus do something good for you? Tell someone. Did he heal your heart? Tell them. Did he save your soul? Tell them. Has your life been changed? Tell. We are the Andrew factor. Amen. It's actually not that hard to be the Andrew factor, but if we're going to be it, there are a few things we need to overcome. We need to overcome. And the first thing I believe we need to overcome is fear. Yeah. Yeah. We need to overcome our fear. We need to overcome it. Fear is often the thing that holds us back from testifying, yeah? Do I have an amen? I'm preaching to myself right now. Fear is often the thing And our fears are many and varied. Our fears come in all different shapes and sizes. Fear of looking stupid, fear of rejection, fear of making the relationship awkward, fear of this and fear of that. And we let fear in our life be more powerful than faith in our life. We let that, we stay silent because of how afraid we are. And this problem is actually not unique to us. It's been around since the days that Jesus walking on the earth. We're going to read in John chapter 12 to see someone that had the same problem as us. In verse 42, it says, yet there were many, say many, many Jewish leaders who believed in Jesus, but because they feared the Pharisees, they kept it secret. Many believed, many kept it secret. Many believed, many kept it secret. This is why, so they wouldn't be ostracized by the assembly of the Jews. I don't know about you, it sounds pretty familiar. Sounds pretty familiar. I don't want to look weird, for they loved the glory that men could give them rather than the glory that came from God. And I believe that that exact same process that was at work in them is at work in us. But here's the thing, we need to challenge the fear. We need to challenge fear in us. Fear is not a personality trait. Fear is a spirit and it needs to be challenged. Fear is a key strategy of the enemy to keep you silent. He wants you to be shut up. And we need to challenge that in Jesus' name, because the scripture says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but He's given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear needs to be challenged in our lives. If we're going to be the Andrew factor, we actually need to overcome it. We actually need to get over it once and for all. Don't let fear be louder than our faith in our lives. Let obedience to Jesus be a greater driver than how you're going to look in front of a human. Sometimes that human, you're never going to see them again. You're never going to see their face again. And yet we still fear. We need to challenge that that happens in our lives. Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. He says, there's a force in me that's stronger than fear, and it's the love of Jesus. There's something in me that's more powerful than looking stupid, and it's how much Jesus loves me, and it's how much Jesus loves you. And it's going to help me to cross over fear and actually be the Andrew factor in your life. The love of Christ compels me. What compels you? What compels you? Is it reputation, or is it a love of Jesus? Because these are hard questions. These are discipleship questions. I'm sorry, not sorry. I'm preaching the same thing to me. I'm going there myself. I'm still on a journey with all of this myself. But the truth is, if we're ever going to be the Andrew factor, we have to get over fear. We have to cross over it. The other thing we need to overcome is doubt. We need to overcome doubt. Sometimes we doubt. Hello? Is that for me? Tell them I'm busy. Sometimes we doubt. We doubt. If I testify, will it even do anything? You know, if I bring them to Jesus, is anything even gonna happen? And because of doubts, we just tend not to. We tend not to. Yeah, they're really persistent. I'm busy. In John chapter 6, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, you know, it's probably a story that we're all familiar with, yeah? We all know the feeding of the 5,000. Again, we see Andrew. Andrew has a moment here. Andrew actually features here. And again, he's actually bringing someone to Jesus. This time, he brings a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, what a legend. Andrew, I'm so sorry for never thinking about you. But this is the thing with Andrew in John chapter 6. He still does have some doubts. Let's read it out of verse 8. He says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. There it is again. Enough already, John, with the Simon Peter's brother. Just let me be Andrew. Andrew spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but here's his doubt. How far will that go among so many? So Andrew brings this boy to Jesus, but he has his doubts. And can you imagine what that moment would have been like for Andrew? It might be like face-palming on the inside. What am I even thinking? What am I even doing? Like, is this about to be the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life? Like, we've got to feed thousands. I'm bringing a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot. He doubted, and understandably so, because he didn't know what Jesus was going to do. He didn't know if Jesus would choose to do anything. And sometimes we look at the people in our world and we have the same sort of doubts. We don't know what Jesus would do. And sometimes we doubt, can you even do anything in this situation, Jesus? I'm not sure. I think that person might be too far gone. I think that life might be way too messy, even for you, Jesus. Like, maybe we think the opposite sometimes. We think that person's way too self-assured. That person's way too confident. They've never had a need in their life. They've never faced an issue in their whole life. So we doubt. But I'm so glad that Andrew overcame his doubts and he brought this little boy to Jesus anyway, because we know how the story ends. We know what Jesus took that impossible situation, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he turned it into something. He turned it into a miracle in the making. And the situation with the people you know might look impossible, but speak up anyway. Bring them to Jesus anyway, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. Possible with God. And the final thing we need to overcome, if we're going to be the Andrew factor, is we need to overcome our tendency to forget. We all have a tendency to forget the magnitude of what the Lord has done in our lives. We all have a tendency to forget what life was like before Jesus. I do. I have a tendency to forget. You know, when you live in his love for so long, you forget what it's like to live outside of love. When you live knowing the righteousness that is by faith, you forget what it's like to feel so sin-stained and guilty. You forget that. But there's a key theme in Scripture, and it's this need to remember. We need to remember. We need to remember what the Lord has done. That's what communion is all about. Remember Jesus. Remember his blood and his body broken for us. You know, when Moses addressed Israel in Deuteronomy before they entered Canaan, the key thing that he said to them was, don't you dare forget. Don't you forget the God who brought you out of slavery. Remember who got you here. Don't you dare enter into freedom and then forget the very one who enabled you to be standing in freedom. Don't you forget that. And the same is true for us. Don't get complacent with freedom. Don't get complacent with how good his love and kindness feels. Don't get over familiar with forgiveness. It's on us to be intentional. It's on us to be deliberate and to remember. Like, do you remember what your brokenness felt like? Do you remember what it was to be in darkness and oppressed? Do you remember? Do you remember the moment when Jesus set you free? Do you remember the moment of breakthrough? Do you remember when your eyes were opened? Remember, 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 because it fuels compassion for those who are still in darkness. It fuels compassion for those that haven't encountered it and they're still carrying their chains. My chains are gone. We sing about that. But their chains are still on. And we need to remember so we can break past the fear and get over the doubt and actually speak up and actually not remain silent anymore. What they do with it, it's up to them. Well, you're not responsible for their response. You're not responsible for what happens next, but you are responsible to go tell, bring. Go tell, bring. As the singers and musos come and join me again. Paul says in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, verse 14, 15, he says it very succinctly. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? It's pretty straightforward. How can they hear about him unless someone, unless an Andrew, unless someone tells them? There's precious people waiting for the Andrew factor. There's precious people known, loved, fashioned by God. They're waiting on you and they're waiting on me. And I guess the big question I have for all of us, myself included, are our lives a factor in others coming to know Jesus? Not a question we answer out loud in the privacy of your own heart, you and Jesus, Jesus and you. Are our lives a factor in others coming to know Jesus? Are we overcoming fear and doubt, or are fear and doubt overcoming us? Are they overcoming us? And I believe it's time for us to wake up. I believe it's time for us to do as Jesus said. He said, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open the eyes of your spirit and look to the fields. They're ripe. They're ready. It's not 4 months. He said, don't say 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, it's ripe. It is right now. It is right now. I believe at the end of this 2020 year, there is an open heaven over us. There is a window of opportunity to see the lost found like never before. People are seeking, they're searching, they're hungry, and we have the answers. We have Jesus. We know Jesus. We know Him. Would we be the Andrew factor? You know, we've seen some amazing testimonies recently of people coming to know Jesus. And in one life, it was the Michael and Bronwyn Malice factor. And in another life, it was the Dale Brown Canyon factor. And in another life, it was the Greg Newell factor. And on we could go. And as much as we celebrate these ones, we celebrate these moments, the reality is that there's thousands more. And we can't leave it to just a few. It's a call to the whole body. It's a call to the entire church. I can't do it on my own. PK can't do it on his own. The staff, we're not the only responsible ones here. These are the words of Jesus, not my words, not ours. Our words, open our eyes, look, see, would you go, would you tell, would you bring, would you be the Andrew factor? Amen. Amen. All over this place and online too. You can stand up. You can stand up. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here. Thank you, Jesus, you're ministering to your people. Thank you, Jesus. You love us so much. And we just enjoy your love. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.